The title for my homily this morning is In the Land of Our Exile, the Gift of the Sunday Parish Mass. In St. Peter's first letter, and remember that St. Peter is our first pope, he has this very evocative verse. It's chapter 1, verse 17, where he says the following: live your life in reverent fear during the time of your exile. Live your life with reverent fear during the time of your exile. For any of you who are familiar with the beautiful prayer that we pray towards the end of the rosary, the Hail, Holy Queen, we have these words: that after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. So the church says that we are in exile. And what I want to show you now is Peter uses a particular word that is going to, I hope, help you to appreciate even more by the end of today's Mass what it means to be part of the parish of St. Peter's. So you might say, well, the New Testament is Greek to you, and that's fine, but you're going to learn one Greek word today, and I hope you'll be able to take this word away with you. When Peter says the word exile in English, the word in Greek is this word. It's the word par oikos, par oikos. The word oikos is the Greek word for house, and the word par means beside. So the word par oikos means beside the house. In other words, what St. Peter is saying, if we are in exile, we don't have a home here. We live beside the house. Now, intentionally, I have put a tent here because throughout the Bible, it says that we are tabernacling, that we are a people who are moving from place to place, because as St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, our home is in heaven, and there God has built a home with eternal foundations. But here below, we are the community that is the exiled community, the par oikos. Now, with this in mind, I want to share with you this particular quote. And this is from a commentator named Daniel Keating. He says the following: our English word parish derives from par oikos, the local church. Our parish is meant to be the gathering of Christian sojourners and aliens who are far from their true home. And what is our true home? It is where God dwells. So this adds a little bit to our story, because speaking of that word tabernacle, we have a tabernacle here, don't we? Our Lord Jesus Christ is in the tabernacle. And so here, St. Peter's is a par oikos. It is a parish. It is a community of sojourners. Now, as I was thinking about the beautiful gift of being a parish family, it struck me that what is at the very center of our parish life? Well, it's obvious. It's the Sunday parish mass. More people come together on Sunday between 5 o'clock on the Saturday, actually, through to 5 o'clock on the Sunday than at any other time during the week. During those 24 hours, we have about 1,400 or 1,500 people who come to the parish mass. And so I thought, how helpful it is that today's gospel reading is all about the parish mass. And so what we want to do this morning is we want to explore that beautiful text from Luke 24 and all that has to teach to you and to me about being an exiled community that shares in this family meal. And so let's turn to the road to Emmaus. The first thing that we see, of course, in this passage is the following. On Easter Sunday in the afternoon, Jesus Christ celebrated the first Sunday Eucharist. And what's beautiful about it, there were only two other people there with him. One of them, we know his name. It was Cleopas. The other person is not named. I'm going to come back to Cleopas in a minute. So just keep his name in your mind. So here's the first thing today's gospel reading teaches us about the Sunday parish mass. It is the day of resurrection. And on the day of resurrection, Jesus celebrated the first mass. We too are called to do the same thing. Now, here's a very important point in this story. We're told that these two men are distancing themselves from Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem represent? It's the place where the parish is. That's where the community is. They're in Jerusalem. But these two men are going 11 kilometers away from the parish. They're going in the opposite direction. Can't that happen to us on a Sunday? We go to Banff. We go away from the church, perhaps. Or we stay home, but we just don't go to the Sunday Mass for any number of reasons. It's so interesting that here on the very first Sunday, these two are going away from the community of faith, the community of those who are the exiles. But here's something else that we need to see and appreciate in our story. There's a reason they're going away from Jerusalem. St. Luke tells us that they are sad. And this is the second important lesson we learn from this text. Because of our exile, at times the world presses in on us and we can be overwhelmed and our eyes are kept from seeing Jesus. Have you ever experienced that? That the world so presses in on you that it overwhelms you? And it helps make it difficult to say, well, where is Jesus in this? Now, remember a minute ago I said that one of the men's name is Cleopas? We don't know this for 100% accuracy, but there's a tradition that says, based on the writing of the first Christian historian who was writing in the 300s, his name was Eusebius. And Eusebius has a point where he says, we believe that Cleopas was the full brother of St. Joseph. And if that's true, it means he's the uncle of Jesus. He is the uncle of Jesus. And yet on this day, because he's so sad, because he's so overwhelmed by the world, he can't recognize his nephew. I'll come back to that point in a minute because it's a very important one. But this is, again, something that we can also experience in our lives, this challenge, this difficulty. And then Jesus is so loving in what he does next. He asks questions. So what were the two of you talking about? And their answer is striking. Well, are you the only person in this vicinity who does not know what's happened in these days? Don't miss the irony. Jesus is the person who knows totally what has happened in these days because it's happened to him. But these two are saying, don't you know? Don't you know? There's another place in Luke, it's with Martha, when she says to Jesus, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all the work? Luke has a particular way to express this idea. And this is the third point, that in our lives, we can experience a sense that Jesus doesn't understand my circumstances. Jesus does not know what I'm going through. Jesus doesn't get my struggles and my sufferings. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever said that? Well, you're in good company. The uncle of Jesus thought the same thing. The uncle of Jesus thought the same thing. Part of what I wanted to show you today is how real the Bible is. These are not caricature figures. These are real people like you and me that live in this real world, that are in this place of exile. And then what comes next is striking. Because now, in a sense, Jesus speaks for the first time. Up until now, he's been observing, he's been asking questions, and now he addresses his uncle and the unnamed man. Oh, how foolish you are. Now, Jesus is not saying to them, you are fools. This is biblical language. What he is saying is you're foolish because you're allowing the world to define who you are. You're allowing the world to be the primary means by which you're trying to interpret your life. And you're also foolish because of what he says next. Oh, how foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets declared. This is very important. It's not that they don't know the Bible. The point is they don't believe the Bible. How about you? Do you believe what the Bible teaches? Do you believe that through the Holy Catholic Church, the scriptures are meant not only for our learning and understanding, but we're to believe in what they teach, to put our trust in them? And then Jesus points to how the scripture itself speaks to his own suffering. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the parish book. This is the book of the exiles. The Bible, in its 73 books from Genesis to Revelation, tells the story that we will not need the Bible in heaven, but we sure need the Bible on earth, because without it, we get lost, we get disorientated, and we allow the news of the world to be defining how we understand and interpret our lives and the world. And so here Jesus, having opened up the scriptures to them, we're told that he then does the following, but I want to give the next point here. We can be slow in believing what the Bible teaches. That's point four. But when we come to a discovery of the scriptures and their meaning, a conversion happens in our life. I think there's some people here today, you're experiencing this as well, aren't you? You know the Bible better than you did a couple of years ago, in part thanks to Father Mike. But now as you're coming to know the Bible, you're saying, it's actually bringing about a conversion in my life, because that's what the Bible is. It's not for information. The Bible is for our transformation. And then this most beautiful text, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Now, don't miss this very important point. In the liturgy, particularly at the Sunday Mass, this is exactly what happens. If it's not Easter time, we hear a reading from the Old Testament. We then have a psalm, and we have a reading from the New Testament. And for these readings, we all are sitting. But then when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel, the deacon or the priest goes to the middle of the altar and he lifts up the gospel book and the whole congregation stands. And the gospel book is elevated high and it's brought here and the message is proclaimed. And then the priest or the deacon kisses the book before he puts it in the front. Why do we do that? Because of Luke 24. Because of this verse. The Catholic Church, through her very liturgy, lives this out at every Mass. That all scripture finds its ultimate meaning in Jesus Christ. And that's what we see here, and that's what we are experiencing right now in the Sunday Mass. Because what am I doing? I'm doing the exact thing Jesus did. I'm interpreting the scripture for you. And the word homily actually means an interpretation of the text of the Bible. So now, as we're coming to see all of what this means for us, we now get to the very heart of the story. And here, if I may, I want to make one more point. If the Sunday Mass is going to become ever more meaningful in our lives, it involves us taking Jesus home with us. To take Jesus home with us. What might that look like? Well, imagine the following. Imagine you're deciding to watch something on Netflix and ask yourself the question, would I watch that if Jesus was sitting right next to me? Would I watch that if Jesus was sitting right next to me? Would I talk to my wife in this way if Jesus was standing here in the kitchen with me? Would I do my work the way I'm doing if Jesus was sitting in the cubicle at the computer next to me? You see, that's what St. Peter means when he says we're to live our life with reverent fear. We're to live our lives every single day, not just for an hour and 10 minutes on Sunday, but every day with a deepening awareness that I'm living my life in the presence of Jesus Christ. I'm taking Jesus home with me. I'm taking Jesus to work with me. Jesus is everywhere that I am. And people in whose lives this is happening, you better believe that the Sunday Mass means more to them, because they can't wait to come to receive the very one whose life is given to them so that in the world they can live his life in their daily experiences. And now we come to the conclusion, and this is the most remarkable part of this story. We are told that he went to stay with them, and when they were at table, he then took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. You'll notice there are four verbs that are coded in red. That's because at the Mass, at every Mass, the priest says these words. Jesus took bread and giving thanks, this is the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. Here are the words in Luke. He took bread, he blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. Now, have you ever wondered why, in this story, as Jesus shares the Eucharist with them, St. Luke tells us that Jesus disappeared? Why? Because he's now present in the Eucharist. But what's so beautiful about the story is it's only after Jesus has consecrated the bread that these two recognize him. That Uncle Cleopas says, "Nephew!" And then he's gone, because he's in his Eucharist. And so, in conclusion, this is the message I hope we can take home with us this afternoon. The parish church for you of St. Peter's is precious, because we are a people in exile. And in this place and in this community, we can have a kind of an encounter with Jesus that it actually changes us. Remember what we read at the end of this passage, that he wants to meet with us every Sunday. And that's the seventh point I have up here on the screen. But he wants to be able to meet with us within the context of the community of faith. And so remember what we're told happens next. That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. What did Cleopas and this unnamed man do? They went to their parish. They went to their community. Enthused, renewed, and now ready to live in the world with a purpose and a conviction and a perspective, because it's the Mass and not the world that was primarily going to define how they lived. St. Peter's, you are a paroikos. We are a paroikos. And isn't it good that in the land of our exile, Jesus has left us the gift of the Sunday Mass.